everybody, and welcome to Calvary Gospel Church this morning. Everyone that's online, welcome. I want to invite you all in today. My name is Brandon, and I have been invited here today to cook with everybody. Woo! Yes! You might know me from Better Homes and Gardens. I have been rated the number one mediocre chef in the city. And I'm so excited to be here with you today. I am excited. Can't you tell? I'm so excited to be here. And I have my wonderful, lovely assistant here. What was your name again? Caitlin. That's a weird name. Who would give you a name like that? What do your parents do? Oh, my goodness. All right. So we're here today to cook. And so we're going to be following a wonderful recipe today that I got from one of the best cooking books in the world. The Bible. Yes! Did you know that it's a cooking book? It's got so many wonderful recipes in it. It's got recipes on how to live your life good, live your life for God, be kind, and love one another. It's a wonderful book full of wonderful recipes that you can model your life after. Isn't that awesome? But today, we're going to make bread. That's right. Welcome to Baking Bread with Brandon. Ha ha. Yes. So before we start, we're going to need to get our ingredients out. So for those of you at home and you're following along, you can grab these ingredients as well. So we got a bag. I'm going to get my assistant. Can you please open the bag and start pulling out these ingredients? All right. Let's see. Our first ingredient is flour. Our second ingredient is a gingerbread. Stuffy? Toothpaste, because we need to take care of our teeth. And a hammer. And a drumstick. And a jump rope. Okay, and what else? And a hairbrush. These are our wonderful ingredients to make some awesome bread, right? Who packed this bag? Oh, my goodness.
My mother.
Your mother. We need to talk with her after this. It's wonderful. Okay, so the first thing that we need to talk about is why are we making bread? Why? Well, there's a special set of instructions that God gave the children of Israel in the Bible. Now, if we could pull up Leviticus. We don't have it on the screen. Oh, no. Oh, there we go. Okay, so I also got the Message version of this because it's a lot easier for me to understand because my mind is very simple. Okay, so God told the children of Israel in Leviticus, he said, if you bring an offering, a grain offering, cooked on a stove, a griddle, he said, you're going to use fine flour mixed with oil, but without yeast. And do you have the next one? Crumble it and pour it on oil. It's a grain offering. Next. Okay, well, that might be it, actually. If you bring a grain offering, deep fried in a pan, make it with fine flour with oil. And he specifically told them, hey, when you make this offering, make it without yeast. Okay? Now, I had to look this up because I really didn't understand what in the world yeast was. I told my wife, I said, yeast is a bacteria, isn't it? She goes, no, yeast is a yeast. And I said, that's not possible. And she said, why? I said, because you don't use the word that you're defining in the definition. But she just kind of, whatever. Huh?
Where did you put the yeast?
Where did I put the yeast? It's right back here. Don't worry. We're going to get to that in a second. Don't jump ahead. Okay. So, he said, when you do this, you're going to do it without yeast. Why is that important? Why did God tell the children of Israel to make this without yeast? Well, that's what he wanted. Right? He wanted them to make this so that this grain offering, this bread, would be acceptable during this offering and also during some of the feasts that they had. They had to do this with their feast. And so what happens is when they make the bread, they don't put yeast in it and a lot of other stuff happens. We're going to get to it in a second. But he said, when you do this, this sacrifice, this bread, becomes acceptable. Now, I don't know about you, I want to live a life that's acceptable to God. I want to do things that will be considered acceptable, right? Because if something's not accepted, it gets thrown away. If they messed up the bread and put yeast in it, they had to throw it away. So they had to make sure that it was acceptable, an acceptable offering. Now, Romans, in the book of Romans, in chapter 12, verse 1, it's written, it tells us, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourselves, that you present your bodies, that you present your lives, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. So in the Old Testament, they had a sacrifice that they had to make, and that had to be acceptable. It had to be something good that could go through and be acceptable. And in the New Testament, that sacrifice is us and our lives. And God tells us, you need to live a life that is pleasing and acceptable. So why is the yeast important? Where does that come in? So in 1 Corinthians, see, that one comes up. 1 Corinthians. It says, that Paul's writing, he says, you're flipping callous arrogance in these things bothers me. You pass it off as a small thing, but it's anything but that. Yeast is a small thing. But it works its way through the dough pretty fast. Okay? And I'm going to get to this in a second. So in the next one, maybe there wasn't a next one. I don't remember. I said these scriptures. Yeah, so get rid of the yeast. Our true identity is flat and plain, not puffed up with the wrong kind of ingredient. The Messiah, our Passover lamb, has already sacrificed for the Passover meal, and we are the unraised bread. That's what God tells us. He said, you are just like this bread in the Old Testament. Now, yeast is a leavening agent. That's a big word. What does that mean? Do you know? No. I went over this with you yesterday. Oh no, I'm a horrible teacher. So yeast, what happens when you put it into a mixture? It goes into the mixture. And so when you make bread, normally some of the ingredients, you put flour in it, you put sugar in it, you put water in it, and you mix it all together. But when you put yeast in it, what happens is the yeast breaks down. Hold on, I'm not there yet. You're jumping ahead. The yeast breaks down with the sugar. And what happens is the yeast and the sugar combine and it releases a gas. And this little one goes, that's just like you, Daddy. Thanks. And what happens is that when that mixture releases the gas, the bread starts to rise and it becomes puffy. And so when she made this bread, she noticed the difference after an hour or so that the bread on one side was small and compact and the other one was big and puffy and light and fluffy. And man, it tasted so delicious coming out the oven. It was wonderful. But God told us, he said, listen, get rid of the yeast. In your lives, the yeast, when Paul was writing, he said that the yeast represents sin. And sin is not a good thing. Is sin acceptable to God? No, it's not, is it?
It's not.
It's not acceptable. And Paul was writing, he said, get rid of the yeast, because yeast, even though it's little, this sin, even though it might be just a little tiny thing, a little tiny white lie, little tiny thing where you punch your brother, or he punches you. He started it. Those little things. Paul said, I'm losing my mustache. My lip's all sweaty. So he said that even if it's just a little tiny thing, what you don't realize, that bread, you are the bread. You're the bread. When that little thing gets in, what you don't realize is that it goes through and starts contaminating the entire loaf. So when we were making bread, with all the ingredients, where'd my yeast go? Where'd it go? Where'd you put it? Get here. This is the yeast. This little tiny container contains the yeast that we put in our bread mixture. This is not a lot. It wasn't a lot to put in. But when we put it in, it caused, ready? Help me. Unveil the breads. It caused a difference in breads. Here, hold this one up. Oh, take one and hold it up. This is yummy, delicious, wonderful bread. I made it last night. It tastes so good. We had two loaves. We cut it up, put some butter on it. Nice, toasty out of the oven. It was wonderful. Oh, so delicious. This was bread without yeast in it. Look at how flat, how boring it is. It doesn't taste like anything good. But you see, what happened is we put a little bit of yeast in this, and guess what? The whole entire loaf was affected. Now, you can imagine this loaf as your life. You can imagine it as your family. You can imagine it as your church. When you allow just a little bit of sin, Paul was talking, he said, when you allow just a little, even if it's a tiny little thing, it may just be nothing of consequence, you don't realize everything that it's affecting. It's affecting you and your walk. It could affect your family. It can affect your church. And you get puffed up with the wrong type of ingredient. God said, this is our true identity. We're not puffed up. We don't let those things affect us because we want to live a life that's acceptable to God. As delicious as this was, as wonderful as it was when it came out the oven, God said, that's not the life I want you to live. This is the life. So what happens if we do something bad? What happens if we say something wrong or do something to somebody else? It may hurt them feelings. Because in the Old Testament, if you did something bad and the loaf was contaminated, they had to toss it away. Is God going to toss you away?
No.
No? Do you think God will just throw us out in the trash? No. What would happen? What happens to us? God gives us, this is the wonderful thing about our God, how awesome and how truly great he is.
He gives us another chance.
Say that again. Say it right here in the mic.
He gives us another chance.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. He gives us another chance. When we come to him and we say, God, I know I messed up. I am so sorry for what I've done. Will you please forgive me? You know what God says? He says, I will. He says, I will forgive you. And not only does he forgive you, but he takes that sin and he wipes it away. And he gives you the chance to live your life without it again. And that's the great thing about our God, is that we may mess up. We may say something. We may not even know that we did something wrong. But God is so full of love for us and so full of passion and compassion for us that he will look at us and say, I forgive you and I'll give you another chance. Let's thank the Lord this morning that he can do that. Thank you, Jesus, for your wonderful grace, your wonderful mercy, God. And I just pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that your hand would move over these kids and their lives, Lord Jesus. I believe you, God. Hallelujah, Lord, that you would move mightily over them, God. That you would help them, God, to live lives that are pleasing and acceptable to you, Jesus. Lord, I thank you, God, for the wonderful work you're doing in them. And I just pray that you would continue to lead them, continue to guide them, continue to bless them, God, and help them to understand that though we may mess up, God, Lord, that you will give them another chance, God, that you will wrap them in your ever-loving arms, God, and that you will lift them up once again, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I'm so thankful for this opportunity to share this message with you this morning. I'm so thankful that I was invited here. Some pastor, Sandune, messaged me and said that we wanted you to come out. So I want to thank you so much for allowing me to be here this morning. Can you what? Oh, yeah, go get it. It's all right. We'll vacuum that up in a second. But thank you guys so much. Everyone online, thank you so much for watching with us today. We hope you have a blessed day, and we'll see you in a few minutes for your next service.
than before. I want to sing a little louder than before.
Sunday morning service. I ask you to stand if you're able. Watching at home, thank you for tuning in. I ask you to stand as well if you're able. We're going to have some songs later that are going to praise God for who he is. But right now, for this first song, I just want to make this an invitation to everybody here, to everyone watching online, to enter into the presence of God. It's not that far away from any one of us. So if you haven't reached out to him, if you haven't made an approach to him, it's as easy as, you know, lifting your hands or saying his name, Jesus. He's as close as the mention of his name. And when you do that, he's going to meet you. So that's my prayer for this song today.
Come, let's enter in the presence of Jehovah.
Enter into God's presence this morning. There's no better place to be than in God's presence. We were all unworthy, but by his grace and his mercy, he allowed us to boldly enter in. Amen. It's so glad you're joining us here in person and online this morning. You can be seated if you're in the house this morning and online. We're so glad you're here. If it's your first time worshiping with us in person, we just have a connection card we'd love you to fill out. There's one out at the welcome kiosk. Please fill that out and turn that in. Just a few points of information. And if you're joining us online, there's a bit.ly link that you can click on that. Again, a few points of information. We just would love to connect with you, get to know you a little bit better, find out how we can help you, pray for you, and we're glad you're joining with us. Amen. If you're here in person, there's a box out at the kiosk that you're able to give at. If you're online, you can give at cgc.org/giving. You can mail it in or you can text it in. You know what? I won't go there. I just want to say I love giving to God because it's so awesome that we can give back for what He's given to us. Before we go to the Lord in prayer for the service this morning, I just want to share a brief testimony. You know, sometimes in America, our culture is set that we only pray when things get desperate. You know, when we only pray when someone's in the ER or on that last leg. But you know, growing up on the mission field, I was able to learn that we could pray for anything and everything. He's our friend. He's our Savior. He cares about all that we do and all that's in our life. And on Monday, I got back from work Monday evening, and Victoria was making some dinner, and she was using the microwave. And all of a sudden, she saw a flash of light, and everything stopped. Microwave stopped working. You know, some microwaves have a little fuse on the back. Ours didn't happen to have that. It's too old for that. But I pulled it out and looked just to see. And we prayed over it. And I said, God, you know, we can go out and buy one, but I would like you just to touch this microwave. And it's some of you that may sound silly, but understand, through prayer, God can do anything. So Tuesday night, we got back. I plugged the microwave in, just went to check it before I went and bought a new one because I was believing that God was going to fix it. You know what? That microwave worked, and it's been working all week. I used it this morning. So no matter what you're going through in these times, God wants to heal your body. God wants to touch you. But whatever you have need of, He's there. He's as close as a mention of His name. And if you'll call upon Him, He'll show Himself real to you. And Pastor challenged us through this wonderful series that we've been going through to be a little open and transparent. So we're going to go to the Lord in prayer, but I'm going to be transparent this morning. Many of you know that I've had 3 brain surgeries by the grace of God, and I'm still here. But one of the challenges or fun things of having a surgery is they got to put a breathing tube down your throat. And I say fun sarcastically. But when they were doing those 3 surgeries after this, I believe it was the 2nd or 3rd one, they hit something they weren't supposed to in my esophagus. And, you know, sometimes if you ever experience hiccups, you don't really control them, you just get hiccups. Well, I sometimes experience that, but instead of hiccups, it's with burping and gas, and I can't close that flap in my throat. So I'm going to God in prayer this morning for this service, but also for healing, because I know that He's a healer. Amen? See, that wasn't that hard. We can join together with brothers and sisters and be open. You know, things are good with God. But sometimes we have to be transparent to our brothers and say, I'm hurting. I have a need. So that God can get the glory because He's going to heal me. And I'm going to come up here again and share the testimony of God healed because we all join together as brothers and sisters, body of believers. Amen. Let's go to God in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we thank You that we can enter and we thank You for this service. We thank You for the awesome things that You already begun to do and are going to continue to do to those watching online, those here in person, God. Thank You for our speakers this morning. Have Your way in all that we're going to do, God. We'll give You all the glory and honor and praise. Father, we are so unable without You, so ill-equipped, but God, You are able to do all abundantly above all that we can think or ask. Have Your way in this service, God. We thank You for the miracles, signs, and wonders that will be done. Thank You for the testimonies that will be shared. Thank You for the lives that will be set free. Thank You for those that will be able to overcome stress in their life. And God, we thank You for all You're going to do. Have Your way as we worship. We give You all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
I invite you to stand again. How many know this world isn't your home, right? I think maybe a lot of us have been reminded of that recently. I'm just looking forward to being on the other side, and I want to make sure I'm on the right side today with Jesus. Let's thank Him for that this morning. Thank You, Jesus.
not my home. I am just passing through. Earthly treasures soon will fade, but I found my hope in you. You are the one I want. You are the one I need. This world can have it all. They can take everything.
Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus, the one who broke these chains and took away my shame. Say, there is only one for me. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus, the one who broke these chains and took away my shame. There is only one for me. Hey, 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 hey. This world is not my home. I am just passing through. Earthly treasures soon will fade, but I found my hope in you.
You are the one I want.
You are the one I want. You are the one I need. This world can have it all. It can take everything.
Jesus.
Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. The one who broke these chains and took away my shame. There is only one for me. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. The one who broke these chains and took away my shame. There is only one for me.
The only thing that's going to last forever is Him. The most valuable thing. Thank you, Jesus.
The only lasting thing is you. You are forever. You are forever. You are the one that I run to. You are my treasure. You are my treasure.
The only lasting thing is you. You are forever. You are forever. You are the one that I run to. You are my treasure. You are my treasure. Others may fail, but you remain. You are my treasure. You are my treasure. Heaven and earth will pass away. You are forever. You are forever. Took away my shame. There is only one for me. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. The one who broke these chains and took away my shame. There is only one for me.
Hey. Only thing that will last forever. You don't have to go searching for anything else. There is none higher and there is none greater than Him. And He will do it again. He will do it again for you.
He will do it again just like He's done it before. He has healed your spirit. He's healed your mind. And we're going to hear about miracles that He's done in others' lives. And it's not just for them. It's for all of us. All of us with faith.
Yes, I've seen You move.
I've seen You move. You move the mountains. And I believe. I see You do it again. You made a way when there was no way. And I believe. I see You do it again. I see You move. You move the mountains. And I believe. I see You do it again. You made a way.
There was no way.
When there was no way. And I believe.
I see
You do it again. I've seen You move. You move the mountains. And I believe. I see You do it again. You made a way.
There was no way.
When there was no way. And I believe. I see You do it again. I've seen You move.
You
move the mountains. And I believe.
I'm gonna see You do it again.
I see You do it again. You made a way.
There was no way.
When there was no way. And I believe. I see You do it again.
Oh,
I see You do it again. I see You do it again. I see You do it again.
No one high, no one great, no one like our God. There is none more able, Christ our Savior, great and glorious. There is no one high, no one great, no one like our God. There is none more able, Christ our Savior, great and glorious. There is no one high, no one great, no one like our God. There is none more great. Christ our Savior, great and glorious. There is no one high, no one great, no one like our God. There is none more great. Christ our Savior, great and glorious. There is no one high, no one great, no one like our God. There is none more great. Christ our Savior, great and glorious. There is no one high, no one great, no one like our God. There is none more able. Christ our Savior, great and glorious. There is no one high, no one great, no one like our God. There is none more able. Christ our Savior, great and glorious. There is no one high, no one great, no one like our God. There is none more able, Christ our Savior, great and glorious.
Thank you, Jesus. You can never be removed, God.
No one higher than You, Lord. Thank You, Jesus.
Our praise. Thank You, Jesus.
There's no one higher than You, Lord. No one greater than You.
Lord, church, I feel such a powerful presence of the Holy Ghost. And I am so excited. It's so good to see all of you. Doesn't it feel good here today? It just feels good. Feels good. We have been in a series. We've been talking about dealing with conflict around Christmas time as we went through the holiday season, and we talked about handling life's pressures. How many of you feel pressure in life right now? I feel like this whole world is like a pressure cooker, that it's relief valve. I don't know if you've ever done any of those. I remember years ago, my mom was sick. She was in the hospital, had her appendix out. And my dad decided he was going to try to make chicken and dumplings. So, now if you can imagine Bishop being a chef, Chef Bishop R.D., but nevertheless, he was in there and he had made the chicken and cooked the chicken down in the pressure. They had the old pressure cookers that you had the lid that you put on and you twist, pull the lid together and locked. And you had that little thing on the top that relieved the pressure and would flop around on there. And all of a sudden it, when it get too, steam would build up in there. So he took the chicken and got that all ready to go and had the broth. And he said, well, I think you just put dumplings. You just put biscuits on the top of this. So he put biscuits all on the top, and of course, you know, that was back when you had the biscuits that you'd whop on the countertop, and it'd make that explosive whop sound, and man, us, each boy, we got biscuits, and we're passing them to Dad, and he packs that whole top, locks it on, puts it on the heat. We're in the living room, and working on some model airplanes and stuff, and all of a sudden, we hear a big boom in the kitchen, and we run in the kitchen, and we had dumplings. They were all over. We decorated that living, that dining room and kitchen with dumplings. You see, that's what happens when the pressure's not able to release. Life can be that way. Our world is that way right now. And we've been talking about dealing with stress, conflict, handling life's pressures. And I've asked Ben and Stephanie Thompson to come share a little bit of their testimony. We're going to wrap this up today, but a little bit of their testimony on how they, as a couple, have been able to take and deal with pressures of life. Sometimes we think the person sitting next to us is perfect, but we all have struggles. We all deal with things in life. So I want to welcome Ben and Stephanie. Come and share with us. God bless you.
Praise the Lord, church. It is an honor to be here today. You know, Brother Roy didn't give us 4 days, so we're going to have to just talk about some of our life, but you can be seated. Thank you, Pastor, for the opportunity to share just a very small portion of our testimony. For those of you who don't know us, we're Ben and Stephanie Thompson. This summer, we will be married for 30 years. We have 3 daughters and 1 son-in-law, and we feel very blessed. At this stage in our life, we both teach full-time, so that means we have summers off. And if you're friends with us on Facebook, you would see that this past summer we went kayaking, we went camping, we went biking, we had a great summer. We posted all about it on Facebook, we had a wonderful time. If truth be told, if you look at us, we live in a pretty lovely home. It's modest, nothing fancy, but it's a nice home. My husband drives a tough truck.
Some people around here are called a grandpa truck, but
God is good. God is good. And from the sidelines, you might look at our life and say, boy, they got it good. And we do. But we've been through so many struggles and so many things that don't show up on Facebook. You know, when I show my picture of us kayaking, I don't say, hey, but let me tell you about this. And so we're going to take just a few minutes today to tell you about those things. Pastor's been preaching about stress and how we get through those times. And we're going to talk today about the stresses and struggles and some of the things that we've been through and why God is good for the Thompsons today. God has always been good for the Thompsons. We also want you to know a little bit about our background today.
Well, we've been married for about 1 week. And way back. Let me just say, this is going to be tough to try and put in everything we've been through and everything, how good God has been in just a short period of time. But we've been married for about 1 week, and really, all you newlyweds, you kind of know how that is. You're looking forward to happily ever after. When about 1 week after our wedding, literally 1 week, our church began to slide into false doctrine. Understand, I'd had the Holy Ghost for about 8 months, and we had good teaching up to that point, but I did not have the benefit of a new life class and a lot of the doctrine. I had to figure stuff out on my own. And here I was, really just a babe in Christ, didn't have the answers. I didn't even know what questions to ask, as a matter of fact. I remember going to the altar after some message that was just left my head spinning, like, what does this even mean? Where's this going? This does not make any sense. And going to the altar and being stretched out on the floor in a puddle of my own snot, convulsing a prayer, because I didn't know what was going on. Somehow I had enough sense. I could sense that what I was doing there was preserving my family, my one day kids, my grandkids that I might have one day, but I didn't know what was going on. I just could sense that there was something dark and ugly at work behind the scenes. I remember just laying there and feeling like I was going to throw up on the floor, but not being able to. I couldn't even speak in tongues. I'd open my mouth to pray, and I'd just, I just didn't know. But it was during this dark time that I learned how to intercede. It was during this dark time that I settled holiness once and for all. Because it forced me, after about 10 months, the veil began to fall off, and we were able to see a little bit what was behind what was going on. But it forced me, am I doing this because he says I should? Now listen, thank God for good leadership, okay? But am I doing this because my pastor or somebody else says I should? Or am I doing this because God says I should? Am I doing this because it's God's will for my life? And I had to dig down deep and figure that out. And I'm thankful. I've learned through this that the hardest things I've been through have been the best for me, because this forced me to grow. It has forced me to be a man. Kind of like basic training when I was in the military. It was horrible. But you know what? Made a man out of me. I learned that I could do things I didn't think I could do. And the same has been true in my walk with God. I learned how to study God's word. I learned how to take responsibility for my family's spiritual well-being. And I remember years later studying the Word of God, and I came across a scripture in Romans chapter 8, verse 26. It said, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. I remember I read that years later, and I was like, oh, sweet Jesus, I've been there. Man, I have lived that, and I didn't even know what was going on.
We could probably talk for days about that dark time, Brother Lee. Those were terrible times, but We only have one for 20 minutes or so. So let me say this. We got through it. We got a new pastor. We got a new church. God was good. We're on our way. Everything's smooth sailing. We had our first baby. Oh, that was an exciting time. It was wonderful. She's home for a week, and I looked at my husband and said something. She's just not breathing right. And we took her into the doctor. She was 10 days old, just this little tiny baby. Little tiny. Life's good now. We've been through the tough stuff. We went through all that. Now life is good. We have a baby. Life is good. And he said, I think you better see a specialist. And so we went down to Madison, and they told us she had a major congenital heart defect that was going to require open heart surgery, and they weren't real sure she was even going to live. So I'm holding this little 10-day-old baby, and my life is shattered again. And I had nowhere to run but God, because there wasn't anywhere to run but to God. And to take this baby, and it was tough. They said, we wanted her to be a year old so she's strong. But we ended up in the hospital, I don't remember, 3-4 times with congestive heart failure, failure to thrive. She just wasn't growing. So at 4 months old, when she had gained 1 pound, she was 8 pounds. They said, now we're going to do open heart surgery. And I placed my little baby, my little 8-pound baby, into the hands of a surgeon and said, I hope I see you again. I pray I see you again. They were terrible times. They were horrible times. Do you know what it's like to walk into a room and see 21 IVs and an 8-pound baby? They were dark times. There were times where we just clung to the Lord. And do you want to know what? That surgery failed. And a year and a half later, we found ourselves in the exact same place. And a year later, it failed again. And we found ourselves in the same place again. I wasn't planning on being a stay-at-home mom. I'm thankful I could do that. But I wasn't planning on it. We were not financially prepared. But the doctor said, she can't be in childcare. You need to stay home. So we made it. But now we have to go to Ann Arbor, Michigan. We have another baby. A blessing. But we have another baby, two babies. We had to go to Ann Arbor, Michigan to see the premier heart surgeon in the world. And I honestly don't think we could have afforded to drive there. Because we just didn't have the money. We just didn't have the money. It was such a tough time. But the church took up an offering, and my husband's employer took up an offering, and we went there in a car that, the drive home was interesting. We prayed all the way home. God was so good to us. God is so good. During this stressful time in my life, I clung to Psalm 91. It was one of my favorites. I can still remember holding my little baby when she was 3, 2, 3, 4 months old, not knowing what the future held, and saying, Psalm 91, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. See, I'd seen God get me through stuff before, and I knew he was going to do it again. And I said, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. And I prayed this, the entire scripture, we're not reading the whole thing, over and over again, trusting that God was going to get us through these times.
It was during that time that I really learned to trust God. And I learned that God doesn't make any mistakes. Even when I don't understand. I remember during one of those surgeries before the trip to Ann Arbor, we had brought Rebecca to the front of the church. The church prayed over us, prayed for her, and the power of God fell. I kid you not, I was halfway home in the car. I couldn't drive. I was just drunk in the spirit. My wife had to drive. I couldn't speak English. We're about halfway home. I'd open up my mouth to say something. I was just speaking in tongues. It was just, and I just knew God healed her. I knew it's done. No surgery. But it didn't play out that way. I have found that God is always good, but he seldom, if ever, follows my script. I'm just being honest. I've got a lot of things I planned out for God, and it's never worked out the way I thought it would or the way I thought it should, but it has always worked out. I remember, because we tell our stuff's all kind of nonsense, like real men don't cry. So I would suck it up. I'd be real tough, when I was home, because real men don't cry, right? I got to be the man of the house. Then I'd get in my car, and I'd cry all the way to work. Sit in the parking lot, suck it up. Then I'd cry all the way home, drive around the block a few times to suck it up, go in. And I remember sitting there one night holding Rebecca, and I just broke down. I said, God, this isn't fair. This isn't fair! And God spoke to me God spoke to me very clear a few times in my life, but this time he just said, you're right, it's not fair. You want fair? I'll let you burn in hell. Because fair is getting what you deserve. Now, a lot of times we say, God, I want you to speak to me. You might not always like what God's going to say. But you know what? God was right. And I say, you're right, God. I'm acting like a baby here. You're right. I don't want what I deserve. I want your grace and your mercy to get me through this. And I want to learn what you want me to learn. So I used to be a workaholic. That overtime check, But you know, when you get your first baby, you don't know if she's going to live. That overtime check doesn't mean anything anymore. See, over the last 30 years, I've lost my job more than once. Sometimes, through no fault of my own, work just slowed down. At least once, it was because of my own poor choices. Sometimes, it was the week before Christmas. I remember one Christmas, we put a $5 limit. That's what we had. We had a $5 limit on what we could spend for Christmas per person. Do you remember that?
He got me a little Rubbermaid coat rack, a little hanger with you screwed into the wall, and we put it in the back door, and the coats hung on that, and I just thought it was the best. You know, it's funny, I don't remember any other gifts. That Christmas was rough financially, but I remember that Christmas when that little coat rack that hung on back, and when we moved and we left it there, oh, we hung our coats there, $5.
You didn't know I was that romantic, did you? I know now that you mentioned, I remember that, but I don't remember what I got you, but now that you remember that, I do. You mention it. See, we have lived in abundance. We live in a nice house now. Finally, in the last couple of years, we've driven cars that we didn't have to worry about breaking down. That trip back from Ann Arbor she talked about, we're coming back through Chicago, and the defroster quit working. So the whole windshield's fogged up, and I'm trying to find my way through Chicago in traffic and can't see out the window. I could either roll the window down and hang my head out the door, and it was too cold for that, or if I pushed real hard, I'd get enough air coming up through. That began my relationship with Forge right there. We won't go any more into that. Listen, we've had our fair share of marriage problems as well. You might not look at us today, but we've had our problems. Probably worse problems than most of you will experience in your lifetime. But God has been good. The secrets are that we have found is be solution oriented, not problem oriented. A lot of people can find fault like there's a reward for it. They're too busy finding the holes in something they can't see that the screen keeps the bugs out and lets the air through. Some people get all tied up in knots worrying about things they have no control over. I have learned when we're faced with a situation, say, God, is this my fault? Honestly, is this my fault? And sometimes God says, yeah, you're an idiot. And sometimes God says, no, this isn't your fault, you're right, but you better watch your attitude, buddy, because you're on the verge of making it bad. I don't know that I can prove this in Scripture, but my experience has taught me that God, it's easy for God to work with wrong actions and a right attitude than right actions and a bad attitude. And there have been a lot of times where I've ended my day all worried, how are we going to make this work? How are we going to pay this bill? You know, we've been a good steward. We made some sacrifices so my wife could stay home with the kids. or whatever it might have been. We made our sacrifice. We try to do what's right. And sometimes it's a matter of, God, I'm going to bed now. I'm going to let you deal with this. Good luck. I hope it works out for you. And it has.
God is good. All the time. I wish I had hours to tell you the things that we've done. I wish I could tell you about laying in woods under a tree crying about my marriage. I wish I could tell you about times where we just simply didn't have money to pay bills. The times that things were stressful. Things like all of you, our life is full of those things. And it's how we deal with them. But on the night of Sarah's graduation party, as the last of our guests were leaving, I felt like something just wasn't right. I just felt off. And I kind of attributed it to getting ready for a graduation party. Kim, you know, you got to decorate the whole house and clean your yard and pressure wash your sidewalks. And so just a lot to do. And I attributed it to that. But, it, you know, 4 days later, I found myself in urgent care saying something's just not really right here. And the doctor gave me some strong medication, some steroids. We were going on vacation, going out west. We were super excited. He said, I kind of want you to come back and get a biopsy when you come back from vacation. And I said, okay. And away we went, and I took those steroids, and everything cleared up, and I was feeling great. And I told Ben, I don't think I'm going to go get a biopsy. And he said, well, I think you probably should. You've got the orders. Why don't you just go do it? And so I went and got the biopsy. And that's next weekend, we had to go out of town for a business trip. Ben had a conference in La Crosse. And we were pulling into the parking lot of the hotel. We extended it. We booked an extra day. We were going to make a little vacation out of it, even though we had just gotten back from vacation. But we were up there. We were going to stay for an extra day. We were super excited. We're pulling into the hotel. He's going to jump out of the car and go to a meeting, because that's what we were there for. And I was going to go shopping until it was time to check in at the hotel. Great times. God's good. Everything's good. And I get a call from my doctor. We're pulling into the hotel. Hello. And she said, Stephanie, are you with someone that can support you right now? And your whole world just flashes before your eyes. I'm, my husband's with me right now. I mean, he's like literally jumping out of the car, but, you know, he stopped and we waited. And she told me, we had some really strange results in your biopsy. It was just, we don't really understand it. It's a little weird. What happened is we found breast cancer in your uterus. For those of you who know anything about cancer, when you find it in a different place than it started, that's really bad. And so she said, I think you need to come in as soon as you can. And there we were, sitting in our car, in a hotel. Ben's got a meeting, starts in 10 minutes, in a hotel.
Later that night, I don't know why we didn't just leave and come back, but my wife was, I know, she's tough. She said, just go to your meeting. I'll be fine. I'm going to call. She had a friend that lived in the area. But later that night, we sat in our hotel room crying, bawling, said, wow, this is not where I thought our life was going to end up. I saw us, you know, we're going to live in somewhere when we're north of 100, maybe 90. You know, we'll die in our sleep together, and it'll be good. But we sat there in our bed that night crying. We called Pastor. So that once again, I found a situation. I can't control this. I can't fix this. And I don't even know what to do. We called Pastor. We had Pastor on speakerphone, and we began to pray. And as we're praying, the Spirit of God began to move. And God spoke to me very clearly and said, I've got this. That's it. I've got this. He didn't tell me how. He didn't lay out the plan, but he just said, I've got this. But by this time, I've been through enough stuff with God that I've learned to trust that. When he says he's got it, he's got it.
Came home early. He forgot to say he did skip his first meeting and stay with me. So you skipped the first meeting. So we came home early. Mort and Buster was here that weekend. And I don't know, you probably all remember this. I came up front to be prayed for, and nobody even knew my diagnosis because I didn't even know my diagnosis. And, you know, you just think, oh, this is it. I'm going to go in on Monday, and they're going to say, it's gone. It's gone. We were wrong. Mistake. But that's not the way it worked. We went in on Monday, and they did a couple more biopsies, and they did some tests. And basically, they said, your entire abdomen is covered in cancer. It's spread. There's really, they were kind of blunt. There's nothing we can do for you. There's just nothing we can do. We'll take out what we can and call it a day and put you on some medication, and that's just all we can really do. There's not much we can do. It's just too far gone. The little tubes that between your kidneys and your bladders, they were completely encased in cancer, so much so that they were obstructed. And I've been told that before. They didn't know it was cancer. They just said, what do they call it? Ureters or something. Anyway, they're narrowed. I've been told that before, but I didn't think anything of it. Now they say they're so encased in cancer that we're going to have to put some stents in there so urine can flow. It was that bad. It showed up in all my scans, and it shows up on all my tests, and it was hard. And the doc, I asked, so he just asked, you know, how long do I have to live? Because you're not giving me much hope here. And she said, maybe 3 years. 3 years. Some of you have been there, but it's so hard to sit in a doctor's office and have him say 3 years. And you think of your kids. You think of the weddings you're not going to see and the grandkids you're not going to hold. And I'd walk into Walmart and somebody would have a baby and it'd be their grandbaby. And I think, I'm never going to see my grandbaby. And it would just well up until it was overwhelming. This is my new normal. 3 years. 3 years. And during this time, so many of you prayed for me, and you brought me meals, and you paid for medical bills, and you paid for treatments. And you sent me cards, and you were wonderful, and I appreciate it. But what I wanted from God was that instantaneous miracle, that time where I come down to the altar, and he prays for me, and it's gone. And that would be wonderful. But God seldom works. I mean, he works that way. I've seen him do it. You've seen him do it. It's amazing. But it's nothing. God is good, however he chooses to work. At night when I would get in bed, it seemed like I could deal with it during the day, but when I'd lay in bed, my mind would just go crazy, and I would cry and cry, and at night, all I could do, I couldn't even fall asleep at night because my mind would just be all the things I'm going to miss. I'd play out every Christmas that I was going to miss for the next, I don't know how many years, and the only way I could actually fall asleep is if my husband would just read the Bible to me. So that's what he did. So
what you've all suspected now is true, that I am, in fact, incredibly boring when I speak. And just the sound of my voice bores my wife to tears and puts her right to sleep. But part of this journey for me was getting into the Word of God again. So what's the Bible have to say about this? One of the first scriptures God led me to was Psalm 103. Beginning of verse 1 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." Forget not all his benefits. Then verse 3 is the one that just really nailed me. "Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases." And I read that, and God just quickened me, and he said, "You know what? You can sit there on a Sunday morning, you can watch anybody walk in, doesn't matter what they look like, and you have faith, hey, they can get the Holy Ghost. They can be saved. Doesn't matter where they've been, what they've done, God's got this, God can save them. They might be the next ministry leader, whatever it may be. But sickness, let alone cancer, I know God could, but I don't know if he will." God just backed me in a corner and said, "Do you believe this or not?" Those two are tied together in the same verse. And as I began to study it out, Isaiah 53, verse 4, and a lot of times Isaiah 53, we're looking at Jesus' crucifixion. Well, as part of that, he says, "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted." But as I dug into that, I realized that the word griefs there's a couple of really that are mistranslations. Griefs, the word there in the Hebrew, really means sickness. is better translated sickness, and the word sorrows is better translated pain. And if you don't trust me, maybe you'll trust Jesus, because in Matthew 8:17, Jesus quoted the same scripture and said that it might be fulfilled that which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. That's Jesus' translation of it.
So it's been 3.5 years since my doctor gave me 3 years to live. And I wish, in some ways, that I would have came to the altar, God would have healed me, and it would have been over. You know, it also would have been really nice if when we had gotten married, our church, we could have just been youth leaders like we were, and life had been good, and church had been good, and if our baby had been born healthy, and if we never had any financial problems, and if we never had any marriage problems. But you see, if we never had any of those things, I'd never be able to stand up in front of you and say this. I'd never be able to come alongside a couple that's in crisis in their marriage and say, hey, this can be done. I'd never be able to come alongside someone whose baby is hurting and say, I'm here for you. God did that for a reason. I'd like to think that if my life had just been smooth sailing and wonderful in the little picture of perfect that maybe it seems, although it isn't, to be right now, I'd like to think that I'd still be living for God. I'd still be a Christian. But I don't think I'd know who God was. It was during these dark times that I learned who God was. It was when I couldn't fall asleep at night and all I could do is pray. Wouldn't it have been nicer just put my head on the pillow and go to sleep? But I would have missed that opportunity to be with God and to learn his scriptures. I love this verse. It's a little out of order. I apologize. Psalm 94:19. And the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. That's amazing. The multitude of my thoughts within me. I think of how often in the middle of all these struggles, my thoughts just go crazy. Just, oh, what if, what if, what if, what if? Thy comforts delight my soul. One of my favorite scriptures during this whole time is Psalm 118:17. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. Sometimes when I don't even know what to pray, I just pray that. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. I say it over and over and over. I remember one particular MRI that was horrible. It was a horrible experience. And I just laid in that little tube, and I just prayed this. I just said this over and again. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. I shall not die and live, but declare the works of the Lord. Over and over and over again. I pray that in my life. I wish I hadn't gone through this journey, but it made me who I am. And it made my relationship with God who it is. It's never easy to see that we're in the middle of stress. And I know we all have stress. I know you could all stand up here and tell these same stories. But God is there for us. I love this verse, Psalm 119:71. Really read this. It is good for me that I have been afflicted. Do we feel that way? It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. I mean, that isn't one we're going to hang on our wall and beg for affliction. But it's good for me that I've been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. I see my oncologist every 3 months, and I go in for scans every 6 months. And I wanted to share with you the results of my most recent CAT scan. I could put the whole thing up there, but my word, I didn't know if you wanted to read the whole thing. So I just put up the impression. It says, no CAT scan evidence of metastatic disease in the abdomen or pelvis. And then I want to share the MRI. No evidence of metastatic disease. I could read that all day. God is so good. I would have loved to have never gone through this journey. I would have loved to have got Brother Buster lay hands on me and be gone. But I've learned some things. Now you can keep praying for me because I have one blood test that's a little quirky and just not exactly the way it should be. and I still take $15,000 worth of medication every month. But after these two tests came back and they had that one little quirky one, she said, let's do a PET scan. I was going to put up the whole results of my first PET scan and show it to you, but it was like awful. Just on and on, talked about those tubes that were narrowed, all sorts of things. So I didn't put up any of the PET scan, but this is what my doctor wrote about it. She said, hey, Stephanie, the PET scan looks good. They don't see any evidence of cancer at all. Stay safe. Now, you can continue to pray for me because she didn't, like, give me... That's amazing. You can't ask for anything better than that. In our conference with her, she said, you couldn't ask for a better PET scan. But she doesn't want to take me off my medication, and she still has some concerns, but God is so good. I asked her, what about those tubes, you know, all that narrowing and the stent and all that? And she said, oh, that's not showing up in the scan at all. God is so good. He is so with us. I wish I could tell you of all the struggles we've been through. It's not to blame the struggles, but it's to say whatever you're going through today, God can get you through that. He gives us those things so we can grow. He gives us those things so we can learn about him. And why I wish I could erase some of the awful things that have happened in our life. I'm thankful for God and how good he's been. And I'm thankful for a wonderful church family and for those of you who've come along my side, along our side, and been our friends. And thank you.
Thank you, Brother and Sister Thompson. I am feeling so overwhelmed right now. God is so good. I just want to close this out this morning, so if you could just bear with me for a few more minutes here. James 1, we've read this in a few of our various series that we've spoken over the last few months. James 1, verses 3 and 4 says, for you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. So thank you, Brother Ben and Sister Stephanie, for sharing being transparent with a portion of your life today. But sometimes we think that person sitting next to us has it all together and that their lives are so much better than mine. Understand, Job tells us all of humanity, and what he tells us tells all of humanity in his life story. He says in Job 14, verse 1, man is born but a few days and full of trouble. You will in life face stress. You will in life face problems and difficulties. Stress at times can become unbearable with no end in sight. But just remember, in the time between right now, right here, right now, and the time between you pass into eternity or the time when Jesus Christ returns back for his church, these trials that you are facing, these difficulties you're dealing with right now in your life, are there to develop endurance so you can become more like Jesus Christ in character. That's what God is trying to do in all of this. And Sister Stephanie mentioned that in her testimony today. You say today, Pastor, it's impossible to become like Christ. I can't do it. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, reading from the Message, says the Bible
says, God can do that work in us. May God himself, the God who makes everything holy and whole, make you holy and whole. So are you whole this morning? As our musicians can come, our praise team, and you can stand. Are you broken? Are you fragmented? Are you putting your life back together, or is your life in a process of falling apart? These days, and I kind of lean towards the feeling that life just seems to be unraveling. My mind is just in a whirl with all of the events and things that are swirling around us, and things that we can't change, things that are out of our capacity to manipulate or maneuver. And I look at all of this and I have to understand that God has all of this in control. That's okay. I have to learn to be content. We're not supposed to have it all together all the time, because we are simply not perfect beings. And I can't change that. I can't become perfect in this flesh. I can strive to become perfect and strive to become like him. I can work on being more spiritually fit. I can work and be spiritually fit in my soul, in my mind, and in my body. On Friday night at our prayer meeting, I introduced our theme for the next month, for the next 3 weeks in our fast. We're talking about resetting and reconnecting. I have a little worksheet I have out here. Sister Brittany helped me put this together, so thank you for that. On the 3 points that we want to focus on in our lives over the next 3 weeks, and this information is out in the kiosk for you. But remember the challenge to reset in preparation for the coming of Jesus Christ. It's important to stay physically fit, to take care of your mental health, but we cannot neglect our spiritual fitness. You don't have to be the strongest, the fastest, or the healthiest when it comes to being spiritually fit. You just need to keep working on it and recognize that the trouble you face is often an opportunity that God is presenting to you to grow in faith. If you're out of work, if you're sick, you're feeling the weight of the struggles of life, turn to God's word and his promises. When it feels like you're falling apart, remember that God is still working to make you more like him. And he can use even the most difficult circumstances in your life in order to do it. So in closing today, what trials in your own life are you questioning God about? What stress points, what frustrations that just seem to nag on and on, and how might those trials and frustrations be designed by God to help you to be more like him? Remember, all of this process that we go through is to make us more disciplined and more principled in our lives. We teach our children. Yet, sometimes as parents, we struggle with the same process. Why is it important to have discipline when it comes to your spiritual growth? We hate it when God disciplines us, don't we? How do God's promises help you and when you feel overwhelmed with all of this stress and adversity? So today, I want to encourage you to let your trials, let your stress, let those nagging frustrations lead you straight to Jesus. Jesus says those who share in his suffering will also share in his reward. And what is his reward? To be forever, eternally in heaven with Jesus Christ. Paul wrote to his letter to the church at Corinthians, who no doubt were dealing with some of the very same struggles that you're dealing with today. He says, I tell you that the right time is now. The right time is now. And the day of salvation is now. Don't wait any longer. Listen, you are not good enough to get to heaven on your own. If you think you are, you're fooling yourself. Don't wait any longer. Today is the day to step across that line and tell Jesus Christ that I want a relationship with you, God. How do you do that? Well, you start by talking to him in prayer. He's listening to you right now. Understand something. He's already done everything that needs to be done. That's why he came to this earth. That's why he died on a cross and shed his blood and was resurrected so that we today can have salvation. You want to receive your gift? You know what the most awesome thing about repentance and receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost and being baptized in the name of Jesus is? Is that all of that guilt, all of that shame that you have been carrying around for years is gone. It's gone. He replaces the shame and the guilt and the worries with peace. A peace that you have never experienced. He replaces perhaps your fear of death with eternal life. So this morning I just want to open up this altar area for those that feel that they need a deeper relationship. Maybe you're just, life is just beating you up. Maybe it's been a long time since you've spoken tongues. Maybe it's been a long time since you've repented. Maybe you've never fully repented. I just want to offer you an opportunity. We see the world as it's swirling out of control. There will become a day where that you may not have an opportunity to come to church anymore. A decree could go out this week that everything that we are used to and the freedoms that we are used to, we are now locked down and can't even leave our homes. God is giving an opportunity. God has given you a choice. How are you going to exercise that choice today? That is who you are. Working.
worship you. I worship you.
You are here.
You are here.
Moving in this place.
Moving in this place.
I worship you.
I worship you.
Oh, worship you.
I worship you.
You are here.
You are here.
You're working in this place.
Working in this place.
Oh, worship you.
I worship you. I worship you.
Oh, so we call you.
Way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness.
My God,
that is who you are.
Way maker,
way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. That is who you are.
Waymaker.
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness.
My God.
That is who you are.
Waymaker.
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness.
My God.
That is who you are. You are here, moving in our midst.
I worship you.
I worship you. I worship you.
You are here.
You are here.
Working in this place.
Working in this place.
Oh,
I worship you.
Oh,
I worship you.
Working miracles.
Working miracles.
I worship you.
I worship you.
Oh, I worship you.
I worship you.
Oh, we call you.
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. That is who you are.
Waymaker.
Waymaker. Miracle work, promise keeper, light in the darkness.
My God,
that is who you are.
Waymaker,
waymaker, miracle work, promise keeper, light in the darkness.
My God,
that is who you are.
Waymaker,
waymaker. Miracle work, promise keep, light in the darkness.
My God,
that is who you are.
You are here.
You are here.
Touching every heart.
Touching every heart.
I worship you.
I worship you.
Lord, I worship you.
I worship you.
You are here.
You are here.
Healing every life.
I worship you.
Lord, I worship you.
I worship you.
You are here.
You are here.
Bending every heart.
Bending every heart.
I worship you.
I worship you.
Lord, I worship you.
I worship you.
You are here.
You are here.
Turning lights around.
Turning lights around.
I worship you.
I worship you.
Lord, I worship you.
I worship you.
We call you.
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness.
My God,
that is who you are.
Waymaker,
waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness.
God.
That is who you are.
Waymaker.
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper.
light in the darkness.
You're my God.
That is who you are.
Waymaker.
Waymaker. Miracle work. Promise keep. Light in the darkness.
You're my God.
That is who you are.
You are here.
You are here.
Touching every heart.
Touching every heart.
I worship you.
I worship you.
I worship you.
I worship you.
You are here.
You are here.
Healing every life.
Healing every life.
I worship you.
I worship you.
I worship you.
I worship you.
You are here.
You are here.
Bending every heart.
Bending every heart.
I worship you, Jesus.
I worship you.
I worship you.
I worship you.
You are here.
You are here.
Turning lives around.
Turning lives,
turning lives around.
Around.
Yes, you are, Lord.
I worship you. I worship
you. So we call him
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness.
My God.
That is who you are.
Waymaker.
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness.
My God.
That is who you are.
Waymaker.
Waymaker, miracle work, promise keep, light in the darkness.
My God.
That is who you are.
Waymaker.
Waymaker, miracle work, promise keep, light in the darkness.
My God. Lord, I worship you.
I worship you.
You are here.
You are here.
Working in this place.
Working in this place.
I worship you.
I worship you.
Worship Jesus.
I worship you.
You are here.
You are here.
Turning lives around.
Turning lives around.
Oh, I worship you, Jesus.
I worship you.
I worship you.
I worship you.
You are here.
You are here.
Working miracles.
Working miracles.
Oh, I worship you.
I worship you.
I worship you, Jesus.
I worship you.
Yes, we call you.
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness.
My God.
That is who you are.
Waymaker.
Waymaker. Miracle worker. Promise keep. Light in the darkness.
My God.
That is who you are.
Waymaker.
Waymaker. Miracle worker. Promise keep. Light in the darkness.
My God.
That is who you are.
Waymaker.
Waymaker. Miracle worker. Promise keeper. Light in the darkness.
My God.
That is who you are.
Church, I know many of you are fellowshipping, which is totally fine, but I just want to say thank you, Brother and Sister Thompson, so very, very much. I just want to encourage, you know, sometimes we just feel like, well, I can't really talk to anybody because nobody's going to understand. You have no idea. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. You know, if you say, well, Pastor, you're busy, and, you know, sometimes just come, and all you have to do is say, Pastor, my family, we're struggling with this, this, or this. Can you think of anybody that could just help us? Sometimes it's just a matter as a pastor. Sometimes all I really have to do is just direct traffic at times. I don't always have to deal with every situation. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't, depending upon my schedule and such. But sometimes it's just connecting people that are looking for a way to be connected. Okay? So don't ever come up and say, well, I know you're just so busy. This is what I'm busy doing. This is what I do. This is why I'm here. My wife and I, we're willing to help in any situation, any circumstances. And if we can't, we'll get you there. We're all in this together. Our goal is to someday, when we're in eternity, that we can all stand around a throne and we can worship Him and praise Him together. And if you're joined us online today, thank you so very much for joining up with us. We had folks all over the country. And thank you so very much. Don't forget, on your way out, your reset, reconnect. There's some prayer. Sister Linda Brown has put together some prayer information out there to help pray. Pray for our country. Pray for our leaders. And just, we'll be back here Wednesday evening, Lord willing. And then we'll be talking about spiritually. One of the legs of our stool, a three-legged stool, is the spirit, the soul, taking care of our soul. Your soul should be your most valued possession. It's not, it should be. So spend the next tonight, starting at midnight. We're not going on a 21-day fast as in a Daniel's fast. If you feel you need to turn off all your media and all of that stuff, and That's your call. But focus over the next, from this Saturday or Sunday night, tonight, midnight, till next Sunday. Let's just focus on our souls. Spiritually prepare your soul for eternity. You get one chance at this, folks. We get one chance. And the God right now that's full of love and mercy is giving us a space to repent. But there will come a time when His love and mercy will become wrath and judgment. Get on the right side of this. Get your soul ready. You with me? All right. God bless you all. Thank you so much. This was so powerful. Our worship this morning. Thank you so very much, Brother Derek. I believe you are a worship leader. All you guys did an awesome job. Thank you. Love you. See you Wednesday evening.